to get finished because I said we were going to finish early. All right. And so we're going to get in Nehemiah chapter number 4. I'm going to read the first 14 verses. All right. So we'll get going in that. And we're going to look at what I've named opposition to the wall. All right. Now, we've been talking about building the walls, and we've been talking about the role that Nehemiah had in building the walls, the burden that he had, the foundation that he set, and that was in prayer, and then the things that he went through as far as with the king. And then last week, you'll remember, we talked about each family built the wall in front of their house. Each family worked on the wall in front of their house. And had we stopped in chapter number 3, we would have probably thought the wall got built and there was no problems, right? And but chapter 4 lets us know that there was some problems, all right? And so we're going to look at chapter number 4, and we're going to read the first 14 verses, and then we'll get right into it. The Bible says, "But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him. And he said, Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall." So this is how Nehemiah responds in verse number 4. "Hear, O our God." What did he do? Come on, say it loud. What did he do? He prayed. Now, you know what? One of our problems with it, when somebody comes against us, we don't react that way. Can I get a witness right there? I don't know, maybe it's just human nature, but that's not our first response when somebody says something against us or ridicules us or talks about us. Our first response ain't, hey, let me pray about this. Generally, our first response is to retaliate using the same tactics that they do. You don't believe it? Look at our politicians. Well, he lied to you. Well, they lied to you. Well, this, y'all know what I mean? I mean, it's like if you're going to be a politician, you better not have done anything in your life prior to being a politician. Can I get a witness? Because they're going to dig it up, all right? And so, this idea that we have to attack one another, here's how Nehemiah handles this. He prays about it, all right? The Bible says, "Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their approach, our reproach upon their own head. And give them for a prey in, give them for a prey in the land of captivity. And cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders." Look at verse number 6. "So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work." Verse number 7, "And it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, when then they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God." The more they were attacked, the more they... Okay. "Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. And Judah said, The strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish so that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversary said, They shall not know, neither see till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. Came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, From all places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you." Verse number 13, "Therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters and your wives and your houses. Now, we could go on reading in chapter number 4, but for the sake of time, we're going to stop right there. When we get to chapter number 4, as I've said, if we stopped in chapter number 3, we would say, oh man, everything's going great. This person's doing their job. This person's doing their job. The wall's getting built. Everything seems to be going smoothly. But when we get to chapter number 4, we find out things aren't doing, they're not going so smoothly on the outside of the work. There's things that are being done. There's things that are being said. There's things that are being hinted to. And basically, what this is an attack by the enemy. Now, if we were to remember our verse from last Sunday, we would be back in John chapter number 10 and in verse number 10. And the Bible tells us that that thief comes to steal and to kill and to, all right? And we can see this playing out right here in chapter number 4. They begin a certain way, and by the time we got finished reading, they were making threats, like imminent threats of, we're coming to kill you. Does everybody see that? Their idea, this is how the thief works. But the Bible says, Jesus said, I am come to give you life and to give you more abundantly. And so God is working for you and I, and He is working on our behalf. And of course, we see this all through the book of Nehemiah. Now, as we get to this, and before we get into the opposition of the wall, what I would like for you to make sure, I hope everybody has this idea and understands this, that just because God is showing favor in your life, and just because God has put His ordained the work that you are doing, it does not mean that opposition will not come in your life. Okay? We have this weird mindset that if I'm doing what God tells me to do, then I don't have to worry about Satan. I need somebody to help me. It's just the opposite. If you're not doing what God's told you to do, then Satan doesn't have to bother with you. If you are doing what God wants you to do, then just go ahead and know this, He ain't gonna like it. All right? And I think a lot of people, we get this mindset that, oh, why? Because the first thing we do when opposition comes in our life, or the first thing we do when a little affliction comes in our life, and say, God, why are you doing this to me? I'm doing all these things for you. And is everybody with me? That's exactly why you're getting attacked. Because you are doing something for God, and Satan recognizes it, the thief recognizes it, and he has come to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. As I said Sunday, don't think for one minute that he's going to give you a pass. Oh, I won't mess with them. They seem to be good people. I'll just leave them alone. Not going to happen. Is everybody with me? Everybody look up here. Is everybody with me? When you and I are trying to do a work for God, opposition will come. In the story of Nehemiah, the walls are torn down. The enemy has full access. Nehemiah comes on the scene, and he and the people begin to build walls up to keep the enemy out. And what happens? The enemy gets upset about it. Why? Because he wants to come into your life anytime he wants to, take what he wants to take, kill what he wants to kill, destroy what he wants to destroy, and then back on out and watch you wallow in it. And then just the time you get some strength built back up and some legs back up under you, he comes in again to do what? The same thing he did the last time. Man, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that it ain't easy being a Christian. It ain't easy being a Christian. I say this because there's somebody out there, then why be a Christian? Because it's better having him in the boat with you in the storm than being in the storm and he ain't nowhere near. Because he does have the ability. I need somebody to help me right here. If God's ever done it for you, shout amen. He has the ability to step out in the storm and say, peace be still. And what you thought was going to destroy you, all of a sudden it's smooth sailing. But there is opposition. There is an enemy. And when you try to build some walls up in your life, when you make the decision that I am going to build some walls to protect my family, I'm going to build some walls to protect my wife, my relationship, I'm going to build some walls to protect my spiritual growth, Satan ain't going to like it. And he's going to send an enemy. And I want to talk just a few moments about the tactics of the enemy, if you'll let me. They're found right here in chapter number 4. We don't have to go anywhere else, but I'm going to look at, number one, the tactics of the enemy. Number one, we see the anger of others. The anger of others. In the Bible, in verse number 1, the Bible says, but it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mock the Jews. Satan attacks you and I by the anger of others. Stay with me. Because y'all are sitting here going, that ain't no big deal. It is a big deal. Because here's what happens in our lives. We find peace with God. I wrote this down. Your peace with God disturbs their demons. Is everybody with me? Your peace with God disturbs somebody else's demons. And that's exactly a tactic that Satan uses in our life. He brings people that get real angry about the fact that you want to do something for God. Remember back in chapter number 2, Sanballat was upset because some man wanted to do something for Israel. Why? Because it was beneficial to Sanballat if Jerusalem stayed weak. It was beneficial to Sanballat if the Jews remained weak. And so he got angry when somebody wanted to do a work for God. Do you know this same thing goes on in the church? Oh, you thought we were talking about outside. But this same thing goes on in the church. There's friends that we are in church with and that we go to church with, and they're content just to come in on a Sunday or a Wednesday, or they're content to come once or twice a month and sit on a pew and do nothing. But as soon as you put both feet in and get excited about serving God, they get angry. They get upset because, hey, why do you have to go down there? Why can't you do this? Why can't you do that? Why do we have to go every time? Teenagers are really good at this one. Is everybody all right? Is everybody okay? Because this is what happened with teenagers. We take them off to camp. We bring them back. They come back. They're on fire for God. And they come into the house. And mom and daddy says, here's a bucket of water. Shoosh. So Satan uses angry people in our life. People that are upset that we are wanting to do something for God because our peace with God disturbs their demons. They'd rather just go through life doing the bare minimum when it comes to working on the wall. I need somebody to help me. Instead of getting involved. Hey, I can't tell if y'all are the enemy or if y'all are just soaking in what I'm saying. I can't tell if you're the angry little elf or if you're just taking in what I'm saying and thinking about some of these people that are in your life that continually get upset when you want to do something more for God. Because see, this is a tactic of the enemy. He uses the anger of other people. Not only that, but he uses the ridicule of others. Oh, have you ever, when you started going to church, people start saying stuff like, oh, holy, holier than that. Oh, I need somebody to help me. Oh, you think you're better than everybody else because you go to church on Sunday. Is everybody all right? No, I need church every. I need church every Sunday because I know I ain't better than everybody else. And right now, the only thing that's keeping me from throat punching you is Jesus. So you ought to be glad I'm going to church. Because he is what's keeping you safe at the moment. Right? But that's not the way they work. They work with ridicule. And this is exactly what Sanballat did. Look in the end of verse number 1. He mocked the Jews. And oh man, when he started mocking the Jews, I need somebody to help me right here. He drew a crowd. Verse number 2. The Bible says he got good. He says, and he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews, what do they think they're doing? What you think you're going to do? You think you're going to go to church and become a preacher? I heard that. Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? All right, keep on. Go to verse number 3, because somebody else gets in on it. See, it ain't just one person that comes in and ridicules you. Somebody else has got to start. So old Tobiah the Ammonite, all the Ike boys, he was by him, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox ran up and jumped on it, it'd fall down. I need somebody to help me. What you think God's going to do? You think you're going to be able to do this? Ridicule. There's a lot of Christians that have gone no farther in their spiritual walk because they got saved, they were excited about it, and it made their parents mad. They got saved, they were excited about it, and it made their friends mad. Or they got saved, they were excited about it, and people started ridiculing them. Oh, you think you're going to go down there and you says everything's going to be all right and you ain't no better than me? Everybody all right? It's a tactic. And it, let's just be honest. It keeps a lot of us from doing things for the Lord. Come on. Is everybody all right? Some of you won't tell somebody else about Jesus because you did it one time and you got ridiculed for it. Some of you won't say something about church or say something about what God's doing in your life because you did it one time and somebody got angry with you about it. They lashed out at you because they weren't living like they were supposed to. And is everybody right? It's a tactic. And Satan uses people in our lives. Now listen, everybody look at me. Because most of us has got an image of our enemy and we put a face on our enemy. But you and I, we're fighting a spiritual warfare. And the fact of the matter is the person that said something mean to you ain't your enemy. It was one behind them pulling the strings on that deal. Is everybody right? The tactics of the enemy, the anger of others, the ridicule of others. I got to move quickly because I've been getting bogged down right here. But the threats. Man, you can go through this passage of Scripture, and in verse number 8, we see threats. We see, and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Verse number 12, and it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came and said unto us 10 times, from all places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. And so we have all these threats. So how does that threat work in our life, preacher? I'm glad you asked. Because this is how threat works in our life. Listen here, if you're going to do that, I'm not going to be a part of it. There's a wife out there that got saved and wants to do something for God, and a husband sitting at home, she wants to be there every time the doors are open, and he said, look, you can go to that church if you want to, but I'm not going. That's a threat. Is everybody with me? That's a tactic that Satan uses. That's how you and I, that's how we punish people. Y'all stay with me. That's how we punish people. If people don't do what we want them to do, I'm guilty of it. But if people don't do what we want them to do, or they're not acting like we want them to act, or they're not doing how we think they ought to be doing, then we withdraw or withhold our praise for them, love for them, our communications with them. Is everybody all right? That's a tactic of the enemy. And so He uses anger of people. He uses ridicule from people. He uses threats from people. He uses discouragement. Verse number 10. This verse doesn't even make sense unless you do some studying on it, but it says, and Judah said. Now, when this ain't referring to an individual, this is referring to the Jews. And what it's saying is, this was a song that they were singing. The strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. This was a proverb or a song that was being sung. They were basically in discouragement because the work seemed so big. I need somebody to help me. We poured a piece of some concrete out here, and Brother Jesse brought in some dirt for me and this, that, and the other. We was going to build that thing up, and anyhow, a guy comes out here, and he tells me, he said, man, this dirt ain't level back here, preacher. And I said, well, you know them cowards? They can't do nothing right. Jesse didn't have no, I mean, he was just doing it by, you know, Jesse was just doing it by his eye, whatever, just like you and I would. But that's not the point. The point is, it wasn't that big of a deal. Just move the dirt and level it out, right? He said, can I do that, preacher? I'm like, yeah, sure. So I come up here and I got it formed up. And I got a truckload of stinking dirt pushed out from underneath it and both sides up under the swing sets and everything else. I was like, I even asked the man, I said, you want me to get him to bring another load of dirt? Nah, we can work it out. Work it out? You just took a load of dirt out from under it. So me and Dalton, we're going to be on the shovels. Can I get a witness? Every day I come in thinking about me and Dalton with a shovel and a wheelbarrow moving all that dirt. Every day I was like, nah, this ain't happening. I need somebody. I was saying, this is what I was singing. The strength of the bearers of burden is decayed. And there's much rubbish out there. We ain't able to move it all. So I called Brother Thomas Hager. I said, I need you to bring me some kind of machine that I can move all this dirt. Man, he brought me a brand new machine. I'm out there moving dirt. I'm like, hallelujah, praise God. Everybody all right? But anyhow, the work got done. But what I'm getting at is there's often times in our life when we look at the work and it seems overwhelming and we get to a place of discouragement. And maybe you're trying to build walls in your own life and you're looking at it and you're saying, hey, let me help you out with something because I've gone through this and maybe this will be a blessing to you. But you have all kind of things wrong with you. I did. All right. This is me talking about me. All right. You have all kind of things wrong with you, all kind of things that you need to work on. Right. And so you start working on it, and you try to do it all at one time. And bless God, I'm telling you, it don't take but about 10 minutes or 2 days, and you're done sick of all of that. It's easier if we just work on one task at a time and get that one nailed, and then we'll go to the next one and get it taken care of. Is everybody all right? Because when we try to do it all at one time, we get overwhelmed and think, man, I can't do this. And so it's a tactic of an enemy. He overwhelms us with the work to the point that we give up. Not only discouragement, but exhaustion. They were halfway through with building a wall. Now, we don't know. This don't matter to us. We got nail guns, pop, 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 put up cheap rock, everything else. That's what we consider building a wall. Somebody help me. These guys wasn't building a sheetrock wall with 2x4s. Here they are moving rubbish. Here they are moving stones and rocks and all of these things. And they're halfway through building up the walls. And they're not building knee walls. They're building walls that people can't climb over. They're building great big walls. And the Bible says they're halfway through. Come on, I need somebody to help me. And they got tired. They got tired. And can I say this? A tactic of the devil, a tactic of our enemy, is exhaustion. I want you to think about this. Elijah, he goes out, he calls down fire from heaven, he prays, it rains again, and the next thing we see from Elijah is he's running from a woman, Jezebel. He's running from Jezebel. She's out to kill him. She sent threatening letters. He's running from Jezebel. He stood before 450 prophets of Baal, and now he's running from a woman that sent a letter to him. He comes up under a juniper tree. He sits down and he says, God, it is enough. Take my life. completely exhausted, stood on a mountain, called down fire from heaven, prayed on his knees, and prayed fervently, and the rain came. He even took part in killing all the prophets. And in a moment of weakness and a moment of exhaustion, we find him under a tree saying, God, it's enough. I can't do it anymore. Tactic of the enemy. How about this one? This was a good one. Negativity. You probably didn't catch this, but go to verse number 12. Verse number 12, it says this, and it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came. If you go back in the verses, you'll find out that they dwelt by Sanballat, Tobiah, and Gershom, which we'll meet later. These were Jews that weren't living in Jerusalem. They were living with the enemy. But coming to the Jews and trying to talk them out of the work. A tactic of the devil is to use somebody that isn't doing anything to criticize what you're doing. A woman in her 20s criticizing how a child is raised when she doesn't have one. I need somebody to help me. A man in his 40s who's never had a kid writing a book on how to raise a teenager. this gets better for me anyhow. Somebody that's never pastored a church. Getting on Facebook and criticizing how I am. Is everybody with me? Brother Buddy, somebody has never built, somebody has never been in construction. Criticizing how you, Brother Brian, Brother Bobby, all y'all are building. Somebody, is everybody all right? Somebody that's never done it, but yet they criticize how you're doing it. I remember a preacher one time, somebody come up to him. I think it might have been D.L. Moody. It might have been another preacher. It might have been Billy Sunday. They come up to Billy Sunday and they said, I don't like the way that you do your invitations. I don't like the way that you do your invitations for salvation. I don't like your soul-winning approach, if you will. And the preacher, I think it was Billy Sunday, looked back at him and he says, well, just how do you do it? And he said, well, I don't really do it. He said, Billy Sunday said, well, my way might not be right. It might not be the best way. But I like my way of doing things better than yours. Why? Because I'm actually doing something and you ain't. I need somebody to help me. I think it was Babe Ruth that said it like this. The loudest boos come from the cheapest seats. In other words, everybody has an idea about how you're supposed to conduct your spiritual life and how you're supposed to conduct your spiritual growth, but they're sitting on the sidelines and ain't doing nothing. Negativity. And we get so mad about it. Have you ever, hey, listen, y'all probably don't see this. I see it more than y'all do, I'm sure. But man, these preachers will spend, they'll spend the better part of 3 days arguing on the internet with one another. And these guys, these preachers that are pastoring churches and been pastoring this church for 10 years are arguing with a college student over how to pastor a church for 3 days. I'm like, dude, is everybody with me? It's a tactic by the enemy to distract us from the work. Negativity, intimidation, and ultimately fear. I'm not going to preach on intimidation, but you can see it in there when they said, we're going to come over there and we're going to slay you. But then fear, all of this together, brings fear upon us. So how do we combat this? I'm glad you asked, because I got to finish in 6 minutes. Is everybody ready? Here's point number two and four subpoints in 6 minutes. Everybody ready? Here we go. So we have the tactics of the enemy, number one. Number two, we have the technique employed. There's a technique. Many of y'all, I don't know, we ain't got Brother Sean around here, but when Brother Sean was here, y'all know Brother Sean Gay. He's a professional MMA fighter. And several of us started working out with Brother Sean. And I would spar with this joker. Many of y'all remember I preached one Sunday morning with a black eye. How many of y'all remember that? Because he did a spinning back fist and caught me with an elbow right in the eye, all right? And anyhow, so I stood up there and preached with a black eye. But one thing that I learned from Brother Sean, me and him would get out there and we'd spar and we'd fight and do all these things, but we'd do grappling, because I wasn't real good. I know a lot of the stuff about grappling, but I wasn't good with my technique. And so when we and him would work together, he would show me that it wasn't about overpowering them. It was about using the right technique. Is everybody with me? You don't win a fight. Man, you're going to win some fights if you're stronger than your opponent. You're going to win some fights if you're faster than your opponent. But you're going to win a lot of fights if you have better technique than your opponent. All right? So when the enemy attacks us, when the enemy comes against us, what techniques do you and I need to have to combat it? I'm glad you asked. All right? So here we go. Number one, prayer. I know it seems obvious, but as I already determined and as you've already determined, our first response to ridicule, attacks, or anything like that is not prayer. We want to lash out the same way that we were attacked. We'll rush. Hey, listen, we'll rush right into a battle before we ever take our knee. The first technique every single one of us needs to work on in our life when the enemy attacks is prayer. Every time these people came against Nehemiah, the first thing he did, he prayed. Verse number four, hear, O our God. He prayed. The Bible says in verse number nine, nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God. Every time the enemy attacked, his first response was prayer. I told you when we started this thing, Nehemiah, the foundation for all of this was prayer. And at the first attack, he prayed. And many of us, we enjoy the bitterness, the anger, the being mad at somebody, to having something, an object that we can focus all of our energy and anger and everything else into for a time. And the very first thing we ought to do is come down to the altar and pray. Find an altar and make an altar in the house. Pray. When the enemy attacks, one of the best techniques is to pray. Now, does that stop the enemy? Absolutely not. As a matter of fact, it makes him madder. All right? Number two, the next technique, not only prayer, but focus. Verse number six says this. All this is going on. Verse number one, verse number two, verse number three, they're ridiculing, they're mocking, they're saying all this and everything else. And verse number six, it says, so we built the wall. And the wall was joined together into the half thereof. Why? For the people had the work had to be done. Stay with me. The work had to be done. It didn't matter what was going on the outside. It didn't matter that the enemy was attacked. There was a work that had to be done, and they stayed focused on the task. David and Goliath. David goes out into the middle of the valley. Goliath is standing there, all 9 foot 9 inches of him. David goes out. He picks up 5 stones. The Bible says David goes running at Goliath. But if you go and you read the Bible about this story in 1 Samuel chapter number 17, Goliath wasn't standing there alone. The Bible says that there was a man standing there with him. They call him the shield bearer. But you never see David attack the shield bearer because the threat was the giant. Stay focused on the task. We're fighting insignificant battles. We're getting wrapped up in insignificant battles because we're not focused on the task. Let them talk. Let them ridicule. We got a work to do. The second technique was focus. The third, diligence. I ain't got time. We got to quit. I ain't got time. But if you go and read through the scripture, you'll find out the more they attacked, Nehemiah prepared for it. But the work never stopped. They kept going. If you'll continue reading in this chapter, you'll find out that they, all of them was working with a sword on their side. I need somebody to help me. Second Amendment, all the way back in Nehemiah. And the Bible says that those that wasn't working was standing by them with a spear. And the Bible says that Nehemiah made all these preparations. He says, I got one even better. Everybody staying in the city, we're all going to live right here. And if you're not working, you're sleeping or you're watching for the enemy. But you know what kept happening during all of that? Kept working. Be diligent. Be diligent. Keep working. Stay focused. Keep working. But make preparation. I need somebody to hear me. Make preparations for the enemy attack. Last, faith. Faith. Is everybody all right? I was going to use trust, but faith. I like this. In verse number 14, this is what Nehemiah says. He says, I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Everybody read that next part with me. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren. Oh, I need somebody to help me. This is what, hey, if we're going to get through this, the techniques that we're going to have to use is prayer. We're going to have to stay focused. We're going to have to be diligent. And we're going to have faith. The fact of the matter is, I need somebody, y'all got to hear me right here because I don't think many people understand this. I'm done. I promise I'm done. But when it's your time to go, I don't care how fortified you are, you're going to go. Oh, and is everybody all right? Put your faith in God. God, you're going to see me through this. If you don't, I'm going to be in your presence. I need somebody to help me. God, I'm going to get through this, but if not, I'm going to be sitting at your feet. What's the worst? Hey, listen, the worst you can do to me is the best that could ever happen to me. Send me to Jesus. Question and I'm done. What tactics? What techniques? What tactics have come against you? What techniques are you lacking in your fight to build your wall? We're done. No invitation. I want you to go home. I want you, serious. Look these over. Prayer, focus, diligence, faith. What technique is missing in your life? I'm going to go ahead. Can I start it for everybody? Prayer is missing in your life. We all admitted it before we got going, all right? Don't get mad at me. I'm not calling you out and judging you. We just all admitted that it's not the first thing we do. So let's start working on it. We'll start working on prayer. Don't get overwhelmed. We'll start working on prayer. We'll get where we're praying. We're going to focus. We're going to be diligent. We're going to have faith. God, listen, if you don't understand anything else about building this wall, understand this. This was a work of God. They built an entire wall around the city of Jerusalem in 52 days. This was God's work. He was just letting them be a part of it. That's God's work. He's just going to let you have a small part in it. God will do the work. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. God, I sure am thankful for tonight. Lord, I'm thankful for a time of study in your word, and I'm thankful for the book of Nehemiah. Lord, I pray as we go our separate ways tonight, Lord, that we'll not forget or push aside what we've learned tonight, but take it to heart. Sit down at the table tonight with our spouse or with our children. God, we'll go over some of these techniques. How am I going to get through when I'm attacked? God, we're going to have to pray. God, we're going to have to focus. Lord, we're going to have diligence and keep working. Lord, we're going to have faith. God, what we are doing, God, your favor is on. God, you'll do the work. Lord, I love you and I thank you for the opportunity of prayer. I thank you for the opportunity of coming to church during the middle of the week. Lord, I pray that you'd bless our